This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Jeff Hafley, head football coach at Boston College, who joined us in hour number one. We've got plenty to cover today. We got all kinds of stuff to get into, including, Wes, a soccer match last night that I must admit was much more exciting and thrilling and offensive-minded than the final World Series game.
Yeah, Dallin Cuff and Charlie Davies had the call last night from historic Riggs Field at Clemson. The Tigers in North Carolina went to a 3-3 draw after two overtimes. All six goals scored in the second half. Santiago Herrera, the equalizer in the 87th minute for the Tar Heels. Clemson keeps first place in the South region with 10 points. Carolina moves up to third now with 7 points. This had all the trappings now. I was just telling you guys during the break, this might have been the best event of the month of October. Now, I know we got Notepad on Friday here. This might have been the best athletic event of the entire month in the ACC. I mean, the football games, stuff like that have been great. This was a phenomenal second half of soccer last night on ACC Network.
Well, goals will do that for you, Wes. It wasn't, if you're into 1-0, 0-0, this wasn't for you. It was 3-3, and like you said, there were fireworks all over the place in that last 30.
Pack, it was a 0-0, 0-0 game at the break, and in the last 32 minutes, you had all six goals.
Yep.
I mean, it was crazy the way it opened up. So, just a well-played match between the Tigers and Tar Heels last night. By the way, friend of the show, Mike Noonan, the coach of the Tigers, is in a shoulder brace. Got to get an injury report on the Tiger head coach there.
Everybody seems banged up.
What's going on there, Pac.
Everybody seems banged up down there. But, you know, the two matches that those two teams have played, I mean, North Carolina, remember, won on a header with literally 1 second left to go in the first match. And then that one last night goes 3-3, ties up. So we keep bragging about this conference when it comes to soccer, and you just look at the rankings from the men's perspective.
Right.
Pitt's number one, Wake's number two, Clemson's three, North Carolina's five. That's not in the league. That's nationally. And on the women's side, North Carolina is one, Florida State is two, Clemson is three, Duke is five, Virginia 10, Notre Dame 13. We keep telling you. We said it all last year. We've been telling you all this fall. If you love soccer, there is not a better conference in the country in terms of quality from top to bottom, much less the best teams in the country. They're in the ACC, men and women, period.
Yeah.
Not open for debate.
I agree with you on that, and we got more for you tomorrow night and then, of course, Friday night as well right here on ACC Network. Okay, we said going to the break, there are four ACC teams this week that have a bye in the schedule. And, Mark, we get around sometimes to saying, okay, who needs a bye the most? And I'm going to say of the four we're going to talk about here, you've got Florida State, who's coming off, you know, their biggest win of the year, and then they go to Louisville, and the bottom kind of fell out. You got NC State blown out at Chapel Hill after, you know, putting together a really nice streak of games. Miami, I think, has handled their business for the most part in the first half of the season and looked impressive on both sides of the ball. Sans the performance at Clemson. And then you have Pittsburgh, who, you know, you just feel like after a 3-0 start, the Panthers never quite got to the spot they wanted to get to before now they've given back, and in part and parcel because of the injury to Kenny Pickett. So which team needs the bye the most, Mark? And
it's easy.
I'm going to say Pitt because they're the ones that have just kind of been kind of dangling, if you will, a little bit here, trying to find their momentum and get it back. And maybe the bye week, number one, gets Kenny Pickett healthy, but number two, gets the Panthers feeling better about themselves.
I think this is an easy call of the four. And to me, it is Pittsburgh. And not only has the month of October been miserable, going 0-4, they've also played seven consecutive weeks. When we talked about the schedule being retweaked, when that happened 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whenever it was, you look down Pitt's schedule, and we talked about the fact that, you know, I thought they were going to be the sleeper team in the Coastal, and then when the schedule came out, you're like, well, you know what, the conference didn't do them a whole lot of favors. They're going to travel the second most of any team in the league. And more importantly, their buys come the latest. They have a bye at the very end of the regular season. They have that week off. They play seven consecutive weeks. And, you know, I'm not using this as an excuse because the last 4 weeks they haven't gotten the job done. Look at the numbers they've given up on the defensive side. 30 to State in a loss. 31 to BC in a loss. 31, you know, Miami goes right down the list here, right? Notre Dame, 45. So they've not gotten the job done on that standpoint, but seven consecutive weeks, tired legs, and you mentioned the fact that from an offensive standpoint, they've not been able to run, puts more pressure on the quarterback. Kenny Pickett's been hurt the last couple weeks. It's the perfect remedy for a problem. So there is no doubt of the four teams you just listed, my opinion, by far, Pitt needs a bye more than anybody else on that list, by far. I think it's close.
All right. The other one that I thought about is the team, ironically, that Pittsburgh's going to play next week, right? And that's Florida State. Now, Florida State gave you a glimmer 2 weeks ago against Carolina and then goes to Louisville last weekend, and the cards just erupted on Mike Norvell's defense. Now, Jordan Travis did make some plays. We showed you the dribble, touchdown run, things like that. I mean, here it is, bang, bang, little tiny Archibald act right there, and then scoot and score, okay? Now, Florida State has solved some of the questions that needed to be answered. But one thing they don't have is right now any kind of continuity from game to game. And is that something you can fix in a bye week? I don't know. But you get Pittsburgh at NC State, Clemson, Virginia, and Duke to finish the regular season. I don't know, Pac. I mean, I just look at a team to say, hey, can we make a stretch drive here? And look, the Clemson game, probably an uphill fight. The NC State game, I mean, the Wolfpack, again, another team on a bye this week. Virginia, what's that situation going to look like in late November? And then Duke, the Blue Devils have a win, and David Cutcliffe's team back in action this week after a bye week. It's hard to scout Duke right now. So Florida State, for me, may have a chance if they're willing to kind of gel here a little bit in the bye and come off of this and have a very important 60-minute ball game next Saturday against Pitt for sure.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Florida State's already had a bye. I mean, this is their second bye. Keep in mind, they had 2 weeks to get ready early in the year for Miami, and they lost by 100. I at least thought, the win against North Carolina, they played great football for 30 minutes in the first half and then held on and closed the deal. I thought that was the catalyst for Florida State to go, hey, see there, when we play together as a team, life is good, man. We got ourselves a quarterback, Jordan Travis. Let's go. And they rolled into Louisville and got beat by 32. I did not see that coming. Yeah. I thought that would be a very fun, high-scoring, competitive game. Well, it was high-scoring for Louisville because they played terrific. For Florida State, I don't know what that was. I mean, that was one of those, did we just go ahead and say, hey, we beat North Carolina, so we're just going to roll the ball out there next week because we're Florida State? Well, that didn't work. So, Wes, I don't know what to make of the Noles, all right? I mean, we did accounting yesterday. I had them 15th. I know they don't have the 15th best talent in the league. But, you know, there's got to be a want to. You know, there's got to be a sense of pride in what you do to say, hey, listen, when I put on that helmet and it's a great looking uni, it means something. And, you know, we just can't just show up and people go, oh, my God, it's Florida State. Those days are over. Let me emphasize that. Those days are over. You got to work.
Yep.
You got to have a sense of, hey, we got to put it together like we did against North Carolina. If Florida State played in the first half of North Carolina like they do the rest of the year, they're capable of winning every game. I don't care who they're playing. Clemson, you line them up with whoever you want. But if you're going to give me the Louisville effort, they won't win a game. They won't win a game. I mean, it's really that simple. That was not good Saturday. I mean, I'm going to be as kind as I possibly can. That was not worthy of Florida State, that effort Saturday.
Here's one of the things. You start looking at kind of the body of work that they've put together so far in the first six ball games. They're minus one takeaway giveaway, okay? But their turnover numbers are not exorbitant. I mean, They have 10 turnovers on the year. The opponents have 9. So they haven't maybe forced as many turnovers as they'd like to. But here's a stat that is concerning. The last 3 ball games, Pac, they've given up over 550 yards a game in the to total offense to their opponents. Meanwhile, they've only had one game this year where they've been over 450, and that was Jacksonville State. I mean, it's a two-way street in Tallahassee. That's the one thing that – now, Jordan Travis has got to be the guy. We can't have dancing quarterbacks anymore, right? We've talked about Travis and kind of the two-way playmaking he gives them in the throw and the run game. But you got to come together as a team because this is – and we mentioned this with Tom Luganville. This is the long rebuild now. This is now to a point where this is going to take some time. But you got to have some positivity in 20 to get you to 21, don't you? I mean, there's got to be something that you can hang out there as a carrot to keep it going. And they've got the win over North Carolina. But is that going to be enough to get you to the house in the offseason, to get you through those, you know, winter workouts and that type deal? You know, that's the part you got to wonder about as Mike Norvell continues to build here.
Well, I gave you the stat yesterday. You know, they've played 2 really good halves of football. Now, you may throw some parts of the Notre Dame mm-hmm. game in there, too, because, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the second half against Jacksonville State, the first half against North Carolina, if you took that out of the mix, they've been outscored 200-79. I mean, let that marinate a second. Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here talking about, before the year started, we talked about Florida State going, hey, you know what? They've still got Sunday dudes on the defensive side. You know, Mike Norvell is a terrific offensive mind. Give the guy time. Have patience with him. He will figure something out in due time. But that offensive line is not going to get fixed overnight. At the time, Blackman was their quarterback. Again, I think Jordan Travis has been a breath of fresh air, giving him a little juice. But, Wes, we're not talking about him offensively. You just rattled off the 550 number. And granted, those 3 games, you start talking about Notre Dame, North Carolina, Louisville, those are 3 very talented offenses that if you don't decide to tackle somebody, they can't embarrass you. But you can't give up 210 points. I mean, you're going through the turnover numbers. Hey, well, that's fine. The object's to make sure that if I'm on defense, you don't score. And Florida State's got Sunday dudes, and they've given up 210 in points allowed. You're not going to beat anybody doing that. I'm just going to tell you, in this day and age, you've got to be better than that. And it's not that defense needs to be rebuilt. And that was, in my opinion, the strength of their team heading into 2020. So I want to see the want to from Florida State. I saw it against North Carolina and thought that, man, they got it. Because we need, hey, let's be honest. In the ACC, we need Florida State to be good. I've harped on that for years and years, Wes, since we've been doing this show. We need Miami, we need Florida State, and Virginia Tech to be good. And if somebody else adds on, if North Carolina's a great year, or Syracuse, or Louisville, or anybody else, tremendous. I mean, Clemson's become the standard. But if you all add on that stuff, next thing you know, you've got 6 or 7 or 8 teams that can be top 25 caliber. I think this particular year in the ACC, it's been really good. But man, life is better in the league when Florida State is Florida State. And you've got to be able to say, hey, I want to go prove something. I did not get that from the Noles on Saturday. And so, hey, now you get a chance to think about it. I'm sure you can't be proud of getting beat by 32 on the road. We will see what the want to is with Florida State moving forward, beginning in November. But they've got better talent than that. I mean, 210 points given up, that is not going to cut it in Tallahassee, much less anywhere else.
All right, what's your level of concern with NC State? Because we know Devin Leary's out at least for a little more time, probably another month or so, based on just the recuperation from the broken bone in his leg. You lose to Carolina in Chapel Hill, 48-21. Here's the trick with NC State. Sneaky game a week from Friday night, Miami to Carter-Finley Stadium, Florida State at home, Liberty at home, at Syracuse is the only road trip left. And then Georgia Tech visits Raleigh at the end of the regular season. I mean, I think you said, what, last week prior to the ball game with Carolina, there's a favorable back end for the most part for the Wolfpack. You got to take advantage of it, though, when you come off this bye week, Pack.
100%. And the first one is going to be a really important one. And that's a Friday night at home against Miami. The Canes will have extra time to prepare for State and vice versa. The Canes are eyeballing Charlotte, North Carolina, if they can win out. And for NC State, you want to kind of get back in your winning ways. The quarterback concern is one that is likely. But I think that schedule for the second half is very, very manageable,
yeah.
Even without Devin Leary. Defensively, they still got to get better. I told you yesterday, sometimes you can look at the stats with NC State and get confused and go, well, how are they 4-2? The defense has given up 42, right. 45, and 48 in half their game. So, you find ways to win. I think Dave Dorn has done a really nice job with the new staff. They had to have a bounce back year in 2020. So far, so good. But I see a lot of wins for NC State in the second half of the season.
All right, level of concern for Miami. Where are you? The Canes have been fine. The loss to Clemson, the only blemish on the mark. At NC State, at Virginia Tech. In fact, four of their last six are on the road, Mark.
Yeah, and let me tell you why I'm concerned. They are better than they were a year ago. But I will tell you, a year ago, I thought that Miami had found it. I really did. I thought they had turned a corner in November and looked at the schedule and said, man, they can finish with two or three straight wins here and really have a nice year for Manny Diaz. And they went L. And it was ugly L's too. And I just I shook my head. It goes back to the more you read, the more you study, the dumber you get on Saturdays watching these games. I circle November 6th to me, because that to me is the game that sets them off. All right, you're coming off a bye. I don't believe Miami's won a game coming off a bye the last 2 years, so they got to show me something on that front. NC State will be certainly motivated. We know how important Virginia Tech game is. They're all important for Miami, because right now they're looking at it going, hey, we went out. We got a chance to be in Charlotte. So it all starts November 6th.
Yep.
But Miami's going to have to do the exact opposite of what they did last year, and that is just when you think you arrived, you proved you had not. They've got the same task in front of them going into 2020 November as well.
I said four of the last six, obviously four of the last five on the road for the Canes.
That
is
math.
That right? Is that correct?
Well, that math always gets in trouble.
I know, a lot more math.
Well, that math is
a
problem.
I'm not really comfortable with all the math we've got to do on this show sometimes. And it's good to know that a lot of the student athletes are starting to see the light with me. Three of the last five on the road. There we go. Got it.
What was that again? Give me that one again.
All clear. All three of five. Got it. All taken care of.
Perplexing.
Tell you what, just keep throwing these curveballs at me. We're in real good shape.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, John Swofford, is about 40 minutes away. We will talk about a number of topics, including Unite, which you see behind us. We'll explain all that coming up. A very, very cool deal from the conference. So all that's coming your way. But Wes, we go up to Bristol, Connecticut. The smart people in the room.
Yep.
Here we go.
That's it. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Wearing the Madras Lumberjack attire. I mean, Lumberjack, sorry.
You're struggling
Madras
today, Wes,
Lumberjack
aren't
you? Attire. No, I did that one on purpose. The Madras Lumberjack apparel line available this spring from Josh Macri.
That's right.
Hey, are you going to be okay? You got a Thursday Falcons game, right? You're coming to my city, right? Is that right? Thursday.
No, I'm not. I'm not coming to your city. No, I'm not coming to your city. We do those games virtually in this COVID world we're living in.
Hey, we'd be more than happy to have you up here in Mecklenburg County.
I know you would.
Sitting right
but
next
more
to
on
Sir
that tomorrow.
Purr.
Yeah, the big. We got a bear. We have a dancing bear.
Sir
in
Purr,
the NFL,
one of my favorites.
Dancing bear mascot here in the NFL town of Charlotte. Yeah.
No, Sir it's Purr. A cat.
Some of the players
right.
haven't.
Let's
time
let's move along, shall we? Josh, go ahead, please get
all
us
right.
out of this.
All right, guys, enough of the shenanigans here. Let's play a little true or false. True or false? For the third consecutive week, an unranked team will beat a ranked team in the ACC. Now, BC is at number one, Clemson, of course. Fourth-ranked Notre Dame visits Georgia Tech, and 15th-ranked Carolina, of course. travels to Virginia.
False. Mm. Mm-hmm. I'll go right after it. False.
You're going false?
False. I'm going chalk. Chalk on all three of these.
First two games are available for your viewing pleasure on the American Broadcasting Company. The last one is on ACC Network in primetime presented by Geico. I'm going to say false, but I am hedging strong here. There could be something in the water a couple places. Just it's been a little too simple so far, if you know what I mean. So I'll say false.
I think one of these games is going to be close. I'm not going to tell you which one.
That.
I think
yes.
One will be close, but I think at the end, the guys with a number beside their name, I think are going to be okay. Be my guess.
Right. Can I just say that on Wednesday at 8:25, the Skalski news, a little bit of the, you know, in different times that Clemson has the ball and ETN's not on the field. Boston College playing with house money. Jeff Hafley having a little bit of a blueprint of what they do offensively. Stuff like that would concern me if I'm number one.
I agree.
Is that all okay for me to say on Wednesday?
No, because okay. I agree with you. And that's why I gave you the list of all the defensive guys that are nicked up at Clemson. And you got Notre Dame looming next week. I think they better – I told you, they can't give you a Syracuse game against BC and expect things to be okay.
No, I agree.
They're going to have to play better than that.
Yeah. I know there's no Jeff Okuda, no Sean Wade, no Chase Young lining up for BC, but they got good football players on defense.
Sure.
And it's going to be incumbent that the Tigers be willing to deliver the consistent performance on Saturday.
Totally agree.
All right.
All right, guys, next, true or false, a first-year ACC head coach will win Coach of the Year this season. Now, keep in mind, that's not just our friend Jeff Hafley. Brian Kelly, also a first-year ACC head coach.
He's not our friend? You're just Hafley's
Brian
our friend?
Brian Kelly's our friend as well, but okay. Jeff Hafley has been our friend more recently.
That'd be true. So I'm going to say true to that. I think that's a true statement.
Yeah, I think that Jeff Hafley and Brian Kelly – Jeff Hafley for sure, Brian Kelly, a first-year eligible candidate, I would also concur with that. They both are, in my opinion. Now, Manny Diaz has done a great job, but Jeff Hafley and Brian Kelly would be the first two I would think of right now for Coach of the Year.
Well, and let's also give Dave Clawson some love here, too. And I know he just joined us this week.
Oh, yeah.
But when you start talking about, hey, you lost your quarterback for the most part because you thought Jamie Newman would be the guy. Sam Hartman's certainly doing a fine job. You lose Surratt. He's a great, not good, great wide receiver. You knew the schedule was not going to be easy. You looked at that home slate and went, yikes, man, Wake Forest, they didn't get any favors on this retweaking of the schedule. And here we are talking about Wake Forest, sneaky good Wake Forest again, right? That was the term you used, Wes. I think Dave Clawson, Jeff Hafley would be in that conversation. I think Dave Doran has done a nice job, given what happened to them last year, all the changes on the staff. Again, we're sitting here talking about the halfway point. We're not predicting what's going to be the storyline in late December. But those would be the three guys that immediately jump off the page at me, that Hafley, Clawson, and Doran would be guys that I said, you know what, they've really done nice jobs to get their teams in the positions that they are.
Now,
absolutely. I agree with you on that. Plenty of candidates.
Yeah, absolutely. And a programming note, last year's ACC Coach of the Year, Scott Satterfield, will be joining us tomorrow on the show at 8 o'clock.
Excellent.
Next one, true or false, home teams will finish this season with a winning percentage above 700. Teams at home are currently 27-11 in ACC play. That's a 7-11 winning percentage, Wes, for all you non-math majors out there.
Yeah, Wes, I know.
Wes, this is your kind of question because you're in all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do like this stuff. I think 700's a little strong. I wish you'd have said 650 because I would have bought some 650. I'm not sure 700's going to be attainable at the end of the year. I'm going to say false, but I think it'll be closer than you think to 700.
I'd have to study the schedules, which I really don't, because I just kind of go week to week. I don't worry about what's happening November 21st. That's more, again, this is a Western question. So I don't know how to answer that. My gut would say it would be less than that, but you really need to do some homework on that question. I would have to do some homework.
Let me give you just let me give you a thumbnail on this. Clemson has three road games in the conference, at Notre Dame, at Florida State, at Virginia Tech. Carolina has three road games left. The other ranked team, Notre Dame, has four road games left. So if they were to go hypothetically 3-1, you're already starting to see it would drop below 700, even if we're just talking about those teams. So, you know, that's why I tell you I don't think 700 is attainable, but I think if you'd have said 650, I might have taken true. I think it's got a chance to finish between 62% and like 68%, just kind of based on the averages so far.
Don't you love it when Wes gives you 62% to 68%? I mean, you know, my man, the captain math over there, just breaking it down, 62% to 68%.
Let me give you better than that. Let me give you better than that real quick.
While
you're sitting here,
go for it.
While you're sitting here putting a flag in the ground. Going into last weekend, we'd had only 9 one-score conference games in the ACC. 9. So think about that.
Okay. Got it. Noted.
We didn't have that many last week. We didn't have many one-score games last week.
No,
so
the average margin was, 22 points a game last week, and that which included two games that were actually in the neighborhood in the fourth quarter. Everything else was a woodshed.
Yeah. I mean, Miami and Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Miami, Virginia were the only one-score games last week, which gives us 11 on the season in conference play. We only had 9 going in, and remember the number we're talking about here. I mean, it's, you know, it's right at about 20-some-odd%. If we can get to a third of those games being one score, that'll show you the depth of the league. And that's really the best way to tell you how strong your league is, to look at one score games in comparison to, you know, home or road winning percentages too.
Josh, you got all those numbers? You writing those down?
Yeah. No, okay. That was impressive. Check out the big brain on Wes. That was good.
All right. That was good. What else we got?
A couple more quick ones here. Both having to do with rushing attacks. True or false, Boston College will finish with more rushing yards than Clemson on Saturday?
False.
Oh, Pack.
False.
Pack. I'm going to say true here because I think the Eagles are going to try and keep it out of the hands. I'm going to say true. I think BC is going to try and minimize the ball game, kids. Just saying. That's all I got for you on that one.
I think number 9 is due.
Low possessions.
I think 9 is due. And you know what? He's not going to be eating Frosted Flakes at 6 a.m. either. He's going with the Pac-Man breakfast. A couple links of sausage, pancakes, eggs, more bacon.
Meatballs.
He'll have to figure out between apple and orange juice in the morning. That's a tough call. You know how that goes. But I think 9 is due for one of those games. He's been kind of quiet. He's been kind of quiet here the last couple weeks. And I'm just saying.
That's correct.
I think 9 is due.
Can I just interject something here before we get to the last question?
Yes.
My best friend from high school just texted me and said, Packer just called you Captain Math. He doesn't know you as well as I do. Well, there's no doubt, because Pack said it in a joking way, because Majewski, I am not Captain Math, as you are well aware from my performance throughout my academic career, middle school, high school, college. I am far from Captain Math.
Wes, let me just tell you this, and I mean this in all due respect. As much grief as we give you about your math skills,
Yeah.
When you walk into Lane Kiffin's house, you're the smartest man in the room. Just telling you that right now. Because anybody that's been fined $25,000 by a conference commissioner and then thinks it's really cute to show up and I'm going to pay this in pennies and goes, hey, Anybody got 25,000 pennies? Anybody that brings that to the table and then puts it on social media just to showcase the skill?
Yeah.
Believe me, Wes, you don't ever have to worry about that. If there's ever a reason that you feel, hey, you know what, they're kind of making fun of my math skills, call Lane Kiffin. Just call Lane Kiffin. You'll feel better about yourself.
It's my friends from high school, including my best friend, that probably realizes how drastic a stretch this is for me to do math on live television, though. Okay, Josh, let's get to the last question.
Yeah, quickly here, last one. The running back duo of Kenneth Walker III and Christian Beal-Smith have been hard to stop through the first five games of the season. In the last four games, at least one of them has gone over 100 yards. So, true or false, at least one back from Wake Forest will run for over 100 yards in every single game this year.
I'm going to go false.
You want me to give you the remaining games back?
Yeah, give it to me. I'm just nature the beast. I think that one day they're going to get shut down here. Give it to me.
At Syracuse, at Carolina, at Duke, Miami at home, at Louisville, Notre Dame at home.
No, I'm going false. False.
I'm going false too. Bless their hearts, I'm going false. That's a rugged run, especially against a couple of them.
Yeah. Good backs, though.
All right. Oh, man. Really good.
Yep.
They got it going on. From a chemistry and confidence standpoint, right now, Wake Forest on both sides of the ball playing at a very, very high level.
Yep.
Very high level.
Again, Dave Clawson.
That's credit to everybody involved there.
That's exactly right. Dave Clawson, again, coaching his team up. He does it every year. He's one of the best. And I'm telling you, he is one of the most underappreciated coaches in the country. He has done such a fabulous job in Winston-Salem.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
The commissioner of the ACC coming up here at the top of the hour. We look forward to it.
I got some issues here this morning. I just want you to know. Got some issues.
What's new?
My best friend from high school shouts out my math inequities. My mother cringes every time my math inequities are discussed. You know, I'm fighting both sides of the house here this morning. So
right.
I may have
it.
To be on a math embargo for
no,
a while.
You got it. Like I told you. I mean, you didn't at least say, hey, listen, I owe somebody $25,000. Anybody can borrow my 25,000 pennies, pay this thing off?
There you go. Yeah.
Penny Lane. Yeah.
There you go. If you missed our visit with Wake Forest football coach Dave Clawson yesterday, always intriguing, very insightful. His team's playing very well. Big wins in back-to-back weeks at home against Virginia and Virginia Tech. And we start our visit in some respects with every year is different. But what about this climb particularly has been unique for this team?
No, I mean, we're a younger team this year. We have nine new starters on offense, and we're not playing with the defense that we thought. We've had a number of injuries and other issues in the secondary. So our defensive front is what we thought, but we're a lot younger in the back end. And in some ways, those extra weeks, we really took advantage of them. With missing spring football, with missing a normal offseason, I think every time you get a freshman or a sophomore an extra rep in practice, it makes your football team better. And Nick Anderson is a great example of that. You know, in a typical camp, in a typical year, you probably don't get to see him practice as much. And the longer we went practicing, the more and more he stood out, which, you know, earned him a starting role with some of our guys going down at safety.
What a day, huh? I mean, seriously, walk on, three picks, player of the week, 11 tackles, scholarship. I mean, how does it get any better than that, Coach?
Well, the great thing about Nick is, you know, our team took him and put him on his shoulders, and they were given chance of Scully, 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 and he did not want any of the attention. You know, even this play here, I mean, he realizes that was a great play by Kalen Carson to tip the football. He's very unselfish. He's very team first. He's not real comfortable with the attention and doesn't crave it, doesn't want it. He's about all the right things for the team. And when a young man is like that, you're even happier for him. So we're proud of him. But, you know, he didn't play a perfect game. We didn't play a perfect game. He knows that he can get better, and we know as a program we can still get better, and that's what's so exciting.
Coach, Coach, the effort defensively against Virginia Tech, and I'm interested in the carryover aspect of this too, because what you guys came up with schematically, obviously you had to defense in the run game. You knew Virginia Tech was explosive in the run game, and yet you get a guy with three picks, and you mentioned Anderson and Carson, two of your more pronounced younger guys on the back end for you, along with a couple of older fellows there as well. But the defensive effort certainly had to be kind of a starting point in your preparation, and it looks to me like it could be one of those things that certainly could surface for you as a positive going forward too.
Well, it needs to, and with the way that NC State ran the football against us, certainly Virginia Tech was averaging 312 yards a game. The six quarters that Hendon Hooker had been the quarterback, Hooker was averaging over 8 yards a carry, and Herbert was averaging almost 10 yards a carry. And, you know, we knew we had to defend the run much better than we did against NC State and we did against Clemson. And, you know, sometimes you aren't what you think you are. You know, sometimes you go into camp and you think this is going to be the identity of our football team and this is what we're going to be good at. And these are the areas that, you know, we maybe have to cover up for. And, you know, what happened this year without really having non-conference games, you didn't have a chance to figure all that out before you started the conference schedule. And so I think those first couple of games, we found out that we're a little bit different on defense than we thought we were. And I think our defensive staff has done a really good job of adjusting. In this league, every week it's a new challenge. With Virginia, we face three quarterbacks. Virginia Tech in offense, rushing the ball for 312 yards and scoring 40 points. Syracuse is another challenge. They've got really good perimeter skill. Their receivers are excellent. They do a lot of different personnel groups. And it's the ability to adjust week to week with your defense, which makes it critical to play defense at a high level. And when you're younger, that is still a weekly challenge that, okay, we just did this, and now you're playing an offense that's completely different, a different personality, emphasizes different things, and that's really the weekly challenge with a young football team.
Dave, yesterday, Andrea Adelson brought up a quote from Manny Diaz at Miami, who mentioned, I'm not sure that folks, the average fan, understand the commitment that has been made by all these student-athletes, staff, administration, just to get to the field to play. As we now kind of roll in here to late October, and I know you've gone from an interesting personal scenario with your family during this COVID time, how difficult is it to balance out the fact that, hey, listen, yeah, we got to get ready for Syracuse, we got to put Virginia Tech in a rearview mirror, but also balance out that, hey, this is different. I got to pace our guys a little bit differently than what we would normally do during a regular season. How difficult is it now that we're reached past the halfway point of this season?
Well, it's really challenging because, you know, typically our players are here in June and then they have the 4th of July off. And then, you know, we usually give them a week off before the start of camp. And with all the protocols required with COVID, bringing them back in July, quarantining them, the weekly test, the 3 times a week test, you know, normally on bye weeks, you let them go home for the weekend for 3 days. We can't do that. As much as the football season is always a bit of a challenge physically, I think the mental part of this is even more challenged, that you just can't give them breaks because you're worried if you send them in 20 different directions, you don't know who's going to come back with COVID and you don't want to start the whole quarantine process. So I think that's been the most challenging part of it, is it's hard to give them that needed break halfway through the season on a 3-day weekend or a bye week or a fall weekend for your campus. And that's why the winning's so important, to get a win and to have that energy and have that excitement. I think the players say, hey, this is worth it. If we could have moments like this and celebrations like this, it makes all the sacrifice worthwhile. And, that was a big win for us, and it gives us momentum. It keeps the morale high. And I think in a season like this, you just want to keep your season alive and keep your team going. And fortunately, the last 2 weeks have gone well for us, and we need to keep playing well.
Good from Coach Clawson.
Yes. Playing well is right. And if you see him out there walking around in Syracuse, be careful.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Wednesdays mean one thing and one thing only, and that would be fan accounting. We do this every week. You can participate. Okay. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You make your list 1 through 15. Some of you add another to make it 16. Sweet 16 spot, and off to the races we go. Wes, who are our two contestants today?
Two winners, Pack, not contestants. We had a lot of people bid to be contestants. We selected two winners of fan accounting.
Fair enough.
And number one is Bradford Allen at Rally119 on the Twitter. Bradford Allen is submitted his accounting using the hashtag Packer in Durham. And here is Mr. Allen's. Number one, Clemson. Number two, Notre Dame. Three, Carolina. Four, Miami. Five, Wake Forest. Six, Virginia Tech. Seven, Virginia.
Whoa.
Eight, BC. Nine, NC State. Ten, Georgia Tech. The bottom five, Pittsburgh, Louisville, Duke, Syracuse, Florida State.
Virginia,
Mr. Allen has the Wahoos up there a little bit.
Yeah, Virginia at the seven spot is the first thing that jumps out at me. I mean, the Hoos haven't won one in a while. Virginia and Pitt are those two teams that you keep thinking, man, October can't end fast enough at this rate. Virginia at the seven spot would be that might be part of the Wahoo Booster Club. Just saying.
I'm sitting here double-checking, yeah, looking at his – he said, quote, by the way, in his tweet to submit, he said, I get the difficulty now.
Yeah.
Say, you tell him, Pack. You tell people all the time.
Wes, you have to listen. It's really important to listen. But we're as transparent as we possibly can be. If we screw something up, we'll tell you. But doing this is not easy. The first four, you're going to be in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. 5 through 8, you'll be in the neighborhood. 11 through 15, it'll be all over the – I mean, 11 through 15, good luck. And if you add a 16th, so be it.
There you go. All right. Next up, Jeff Keen. Jeff Keen's a Hokies fan. I met Jeff Keen about a year ago when I was in Blacksburg for ACC Network at WJ Keen on Twitter. Jeff has 16 on his list. Number one, Clemson. Two, Notre Dame. Three, Miami. Four, North Carolina. Five, Virginia Tech. Six, NC State. Seven, Wake Forest. Eight, Boston College. Nine, Georgia Tech. 10, Pittsburgh. 11, Louisville. 12, Florida State. 13, Virginia. 14, Duke. 15, Syracuse. And Sweet 16 is Coach Fuentes' podium. Jeff adds,
beautiful.
Have a feeling it will catch hell at the presser.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's great. I like it.
Well done, Jeff.
Yep.
Well
creative,
done,
funny,
sir.
Spot on. That was good.
Yep. Well done. You are more than welcome to submit accounting. You can start on Sundays if you like. We'll pick two over the course of the 48 hours following the weekend to show here on Wednesday's show. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. You can also use the hashtag accounting. Don't forget to capitalize the A, C, and the C in accounting if you submit it that way as well. But appreciate everybody's – we had a lot of really good entries this week. This was not as easy a selection for our crack staff has been the last couple of weeks. But thanks to Jeff Keen and also Bradford Allen for participating in this week's accounting. So there you have it.
And with four open dates for teams this week, that always makes it interesting for accounting, regardless of the results, because you're going to have four that are going to be in neutral this week. Duke's going non-conference or taking on Charlotte, so that might have an impact of where you can put the Blue Devils, assuming they can win Saturday. It always changes, and that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, and again, it seems though, Wes, as we get into the last weekend of October, the top four teams, in whatever order you want to put them, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, North Carolina, seem to be in a really good spot. I mean, those four have seemingly elevated from 5 through 8, which I think that group has its own little universe with BC and Wake and Virginia Tech and NC State. And then, like I said, 11 through 15 on any given week, it flip-flops all over the place.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.